Radio, this is the Fan Upstate. Welcome in. Great to have you. Day number 3 of a special edition of the Rob Brown Show, presented by our friends at Ingles here at the College Football Hall of Fame. It is Southeastern Conference Media Days. Day number 3, Wednesday, July 16th. Will include the Alabama Crimson Tide, the Mississippi State Bulldogs, the mighty jort-wearing Gators of Florida, and the Boomer Sooners of Oklahoma University. We'll have Brent Venables in the house. We'll have Billy Napier in the house. We'll have Kalen DeBoer in the house today, amongst obviously a group of players. And before we get to any of that, well, let's first and foremost kick it back to the beautiful network studios in Greenville, South Carolina, where the great one Lonzo currently resides, holding the fort down solo. What up, great one?
Holding it down, yo. You look like you're having fun.
You know, I've had worse weeks of work. I've had a lot, as in both in quality and quantity, of worse weeks of work. Yesterday, let me give you a quick story to set up an interview that I'm going to play you a chunk of later on in the radio program. Yesterday, I was sitting here in the afternoon. We were waiting for the afternoon session yesterday to get set up as Tennessee and Texas were coming through. Josh Heupel, a.k.a. Old Bobby Hill, was here, and of course we had Steve Sarkisian of Texas, and Arch Manning was going to be in the house. So I wanted to see what Arch had to say, and I've got some quotes and some clips from Arch later on, as he is obviously, I think, the biggest, I'm going to use the word, celebrity football player in the Southeastern Conference, which I think is fair this year. And I think later when I tell you why, you'll understand. This dude was getting followed around yesterday like he was the world's biggest rock star coming off the stage after a concert at Wembley or something. I mean, it was just I have used the word gaggle a couple of times this week. It was the biggest gaggle of people following Arch around that I have seen, and I'm going to set it up this way intentionally, Zoe, because you will understand what I mean here. It was the biggest gaggle of people that I have seen following around a coach or a player at any media day I have ever attended. It was a bigger group of people, and this is not a slight at, although it's going to be taken that way. I have not seen a group of people that large following Dabo Swinney around at ACC Media Days, and he is the rock star celebrity at that event. I haven't seen it. This kid would walk around the media pit below me yesterday, and at any given point you could turn around and know exactly where Arch was, because there would be this huge gathering of people around him whenever he moved from station to station. There were some clips going around yesterday because down in the lower bowels of the College Football Hall of Fame, ESPN has their own room, like their own dedicated room where they are bringing coaches and players to do one-on-one interviews and allow them to talk to Heather Denich and some of the other big-name broadcasters for that outlet. And they started popping some videos when Arch rolled in. And first off, and I say this with nothing but love, that kid is so a Manning. Like, the way that he looks, he showed up, great one, in the standard frat boy get-up of khakis, white shirt, blue blazer, tie. All right, that's just the standard. That is every dude's first suit and tie combo, is khakis, white shirt, blue blazer, some sort of tie that incorporates gold in it. And that's what he showed up in. And he's just, I don't really know how to put it, because there's not a way to put it that's not going to sound to some degree insulting, though it's not meant to be. He's just kind of like goofy, lanky, casual. He's Peyton and he's Eli in the way that he looks and he talks and he acts. And it was just amusing to watch the biggest name in college football, at least on the players' side this year, just be Peyton and Eli at their most casual. It was great.
I mean, that's awesome, but how many games has he won in college football?
That's going to be the big question. Now, I would like to bring something else up. Great one here. Yesterday, about 2:30 in the afternoon, as I was hanging out waiting for the second round of coaches' speeches to get going, next to me on the left is another broadcast table from KTTC, I believe, in Dallas, Texas. And I've gotten to, over the last couple of days, gotten to know the guys that are working for that station. We've shaken hands and we've talked a little bit about their show and about my show, and we've exchanged pleasantries and yada, yada, yada. And as I look over from cutting up audio and video for the show today, I look over at their table and they're doing an interview. And I looked up because I heard the subject of their interview answering a question about Arch Manning. And when I turned my head to the left and looked at the interviewer, I thought to myself, my goodness gracious, that might be the largest human being I have ever seen. And I am not talking about like a big fat dude. I'm talking about ripped, like just big, just massive. And I was like, damn, that's the biggest dude that I have ever seen in person. And I didn't really think anything of it, so I went back to my computer, and I'm putting together some video, and then I went, I got to look at this guy again, right? Like in a sentence that you don't want to say too many times in life, I'm like, I got to look at this guy again. And I look over to the left, and I realize that the gentleman sitting there doing an interview was the world's strongest man and multi-time WWE World Champion and WWE Hall of Famer, Mark Henry, was sitting at the table. And by the way, great one, two-time now buddy of the show, World's Strongest Man and former WWE World Champion, Mark Henry. And I'm like, oh, damn, that's Mark Henry. That's why he's such a big man. So we got to the break, or they got to their break. And I walked over and I was talking to the gentleman who was very clearly setting up Mark Henry's interview schedule. And I'm like, you know what? I'd love to have Mark sit down and we'll just talk wrestling. And I said, you know, it maybe isn't something that I'm going to use this week while we're here, but it'll be cool to put an interview with Mark Henry about the current state of WWE in the can. And, you know, we'll run it back next week when we have some time. So I'm talking to the guy, and I said, hey, my name is Rob Brown. I'm from Greenville, South Carolina. I am a big wrestling guy. I'm a huge Mark Henry fan. I'd love to see if I could get him on the air. Are you his manager, agent? And the guy looked at me, and he said, no, I'm his co-host. And I kind of scratched my head there for a second because Mark Henry is on Busted Open Radio, which is now a 24/7 professional wrestling channel because nobody cares about wrestling. Definitely not enough for SiriusXM to dedicate any channel to it 24/7, right? So I was like, he doesn't have a co-host. He has his own show. And I said, oh, well, co-host on what, if you don't mind me asking? And he said, oh, we're doing a show together on 1300 AM The Zone in Austin, Texas, covering the Longhorns. And I went, Mark Henry? And he said, yeah, we do a show together. We're co-hosts. We do Texas football. And I was like, oh, all right. So I said, listen, I'd love to have Mr. Henry on. If he gets a couple of minutes, I'm free for the next hour, hour and a half till my next interview. And he said, yeah, we got you. You're up next. And I said, all right, great. So he finishes that interview, and he grabs a water, and he comes back, and Mark Henry sits down, and I shake his hand, and I said, hey, I obviously don't remember. You do 1,000 of these a day, but we had you on our show last year in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm glad you're coming back. I said, but college football? And he said, yeah. He said, I love college football. And he tells the story, and I'm going to play the interview for you later on in the show, or at least a big chunk of it, because we went on for like 25 minutes, right? So I was talking to him, and when I asked him about jumping into the college football world, he said, I've always loved football. And he said in the interview, he didn't phrase it this way, I'm paraphrasing, but it's pretty close. He said that he truly believes that he only made one mistake in his life. And that mistake was he feels like he should have stuck with football longer and then came to wrestling later. He's like, I got the bug for wrestling. I jumped in. I walked away from football, and I probably should have played football a little longer. I probably should have stayed in the game. He said, mind of a champion, and obviously as strong as I was, I think I could have been a truly great football player, and then I could have gotten into wrestling later on. I said, well, it worked out pretty damn well for you, I think. And he laughed, and he said, yeah, but he said, I wish I would have stuck with football. I love football. I've always been a football guy. I've always been a sports guy. And since I started doing the stuff on Busted Open, I've just fallen in love with radio and everything that you get to do in this world. And I said, yeah, no, I totally understand. I've been doing it for 17 years, and, you know, I don't get paid very much, but I get to come here and do stuff like this. And he kind of laughed and said his favorite two words on planet Earth, now great one. And I had this hilarious moment of connection with the world's strongest man and former multi-time WWE world champion Mark Henry when he said, my favorite two words in the world right now are press pass. And I said, yep, nope, I feel you, dog. I absolutely feel you on that. So
people don't understand what a golden ticket that thing is.
That's the best. It's the best. So I guess the point of all of that, great one, is the interesting thing. I'll tell you one more story here in a second about somebody I'm going to be talking to after we go off the air for tomorrow. I think my favorite thing about these events is not just that we are, you know, knees deep in the football waters now. I had David Nuno from TexAgs.com. We're going to play his interview for you later on because he had some takes on South Carolina and the Aggies, and we're going to talk about that later on in the show. But I had Nuno on, and when we were starting the interview, he said, does this feel like the start of football season to you? And I was like, yeah. I said, Lonzo and I have been having this conversation for weeks now that the last couple of weeks were, as we call it, hashtag peak off season and hashtag ranking season. And this Monday, when I got in here and I got set up and we started talking football and I'm listening to 200 other broadcast outlets talk about football, it truly feels like football. And there is one more element of this that I think is kind of entertaining. I also got the chance yesterday to sit down and have a conversation with Peter Burns of the Southeastern Conference Network. Peter Burns, I met, 15 years ago.
Who was making fun of Dabo? I don't know if you've seen the video.
No, I have not.
There's a video from a Chinese robot running down a hill, and it's dressed in orange, and he said, Dabo running towards a big loss to LSU or something like that. That's messed up.
Well, I will
find it again, I'll send it to you.
Peter Burns is one of the few broadcasters that I have seen that is capable. Like, he's an LSU homer, and he doesn't apologize for it, but still keeps it real. So Peter Burns sat down with me yesterday, and we actually weren't going to get that interview. The young lady that was booking him came over, and she was like, I'm very sorry. She's like, we overbooked, and we're having to cut some off the edges. She said, I'll try to get you somebody tomorrow, but I don't know if Peter's going to make it over. And I said, yep, nope, I understand. That's kind of part of the game. We've had a couple of interviews that have been late ads, including one I'm going to tell you here in a minute. And we've had a couple more that, you know, they have to move or they have to bump a day or they just have to cancel out. Right. So it's like it's not unusual for that to happen. She said, I'll try to get him to you tomorrow. And if I can't get him, I'll try to get you somebody else, Roman Harper or somebody. And I was like, yep, sure, no worries. Well, about 5 minutes later, towards the end of the afternoon, Peter was walking by me. And he looked over and he pointed at me and he's like, I know you. And I said, yep, Rob Brown, Greenville, South Carolina. And he goes, we met at the Army-Navy game, didn't we? And I said, yes, sir, we did. It was like 12, 13, 14 years ago, but we met at the Army-Navy game. In fact, two of them, we did one in Washington, D.C. and one in Philadelphia. And he goes, I follow you on Twitter. And I said, you absolutely do. He goes, I see your takes. He said, I think you're doing a great job. And I said, well, man, listen, I know you're kind of out of time here, but if you get a few minutes tomorrow, the day after, I know your schedule's kind of set, but if you get even 5 minutes, I'd love to have you on the show just to, old time's sake, reconnect. Because before Peter went to the SEC Network, he was doing sports talk radio in San Antonio. And he used to come on my show back in the day all the time. And once he got to the net, obviously, it got a little tougher to book him on the show. But he looked at the young lady who was handling, and he goes, figure out when we can talk to him. And she was like, okay. So then they came back at about 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon. I was kind of wrapping up, and he walked back over, and he goes, hey, I got about 8 minutes. Does that work? And I was like, yeah, for sure. So we got Peter Burns, which was great. And then one more quick story segueing off of that, because Peter, we got Peter to talk a lot about. He has, and I'll say this, glowing praise and review for Shane Beamer. Little hesitant on Lenora Sellers, glowing reviews of Shane Beamer. And he said something interesting to me, too. He said, I'm enjoying these SEC Media Days. I enjoy them every year. He said, I'm enjoying the SEC Media Days this year because it's the first time since 2019 that it feels normal. And I was like, what do you mean by that? And he goes, well, think about it. In 2020, we had COVID. In 2021, we had the transfer portal. In 2022, we had NIL. In 2023, we had conference expansion. And in 2024, we had the House settlement, conference expansion, and NIL. And that's all we talked about for 4 days. He said, but COVID's gone, or at least in the way that it impacted college football. He said, COVID's gone. NIL is just a thing now. We have the House settlement officials, so that's kind of set the bars and the parameters we're playing in. Nobody's talking about conference expansion. Texas and Oklahoma have now played a year in the SEC, so they're not noobs anymore. He said all the things that have kind of detracted and derailed football conversation the last 4 years, all those things are at least for now either settled and over with or on the back burner. And that makes it feel like football. And I said, that's a great take. I really like that. So we got done with Peter Burns, and I'll give you one more quick story about an interview I'm going to cut later on today. I got up after we were done with Pete, and Peter walked away, and I was walking back over to the media workroom to go grab myself my, like, 10th Dr. Pepper Zero Sugar. Because, Lonzo, if somebody offers you a cooler full of Dr. Pepper Zero Sugars, go bananas.
I know, right?
Go off, King. All right.
Nectar of the gods.
Go off, King. So I walked down there to get sugar-free Dr. Pepper number, whatever I was on that day. I'm also drinking plenty of water, Mom. Leave me alone, okay? So, not my actual mom. That was just a joke. I walked down to the break room, and as I was coming back, there was a guy leaned up. There's these big columns outside of the media break room. And there's a guy leaned up, and I looked over, and I was like, damn, that guy is wildly familiar to me. And I just kind of stood there for a second and analyzed, and I realized that the guy that I was looking at, Lonzo, was legendary Florida Gator quarterback Danny Werfel. Now, Danny Werfel comes from Fort Walton Beach, Florida. The 1996 Heisman Trophy winner comes from my hometown. In fact, he played for, I attended Choctawhatchee High School in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. Go Big Green. Danny Werfel quarterbacked our main rival, Fort Walton Beach High School. And so just as kind of like an aside, because I, you know, it's Danny Werfel. He's a Heisman Trophy winner. For the love of the football gods, Danny Werfel has a trophy and award named after him that they give away at the College Football Awards every year. And a fun little tidbit, the organization that runs that, I've talked about it before, the All Sports Association, I was a member. I was one of the first people to actually see the first Werfel trophy. I was working for the guy who at the time was the president of that organization. And so I walked up to him, and my high school, who was his rival, is the Big Green Indians. I walked over to Danny Werfel, and I said, Mr. Werfel, go Big Green. Because it's only been 40 years since Danny Werfel played high school football. But if you drop a high school smack talk line on a dude who was that dude for his high school, I don't care if Danny Werfel is, what, he's got to be in his fifth, early 50s now. I don't care if he's 51 years old. It's going to slap. So I said, Danny Werfel, I said, Mr. Werfel, my name is Rob Brown. I said, I'm from Greenville, South Carolina, but I grew up in the Florida Panhandle, go Big Green. And he looks at me, and he was going to shake my hand, and when I said, go Big Green, Lonzo, he pulled his hand back away from me. Good. And I was like, he's still in there, still in there. So anyway, talked to Danny Werfel for a couple minutes, told him a little bit about my connection to his award, the Werfel Trophy, back in the day. Talked to him a little bit about the time that I spent watching. I watched Danny Werfel in high school when I was legitimately 5-6 years old. And so I was kind of sharing stories with him. And I said, I'd love to get you on the show tomorrow. And he put me over to his agent, and he said, find a way to get this guy some time. So some point today, we will be talking to an absolute legend, a College Football Hall of Famer. We will be talking to the 1996 Heisman Trophy winner, the 1996 national champion, the 1996 Maxwell Award winner, and two-year New Orleans Saint, Danny Werfel. Later on this afternoon, we'll have that interview for you tomorrow. Guys, It is college football season. Officially, thoroughly, it started on Monday. We are in the thick of it. When we come back here in just a minute, we'll address some of the talking points we got out of yesterday's Southeastern Conference Media Days. We will set you up for interviews with Peter Burns. We'll set you up with an interview with the president of the College Football Hall of Fame I did yesterday, David Nuno from TexAgs.com, the world's strongest man, WWE star Mark Henry, and more, and tell you what you got coming up today on the Rob Brown Show live from SEC Media Days in Atlanta, Georgia. This is the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show live from the College Football Hall of Fame here in Atlanta, Georgia for SEC Media Days, day number 3 of 4, and what a tremendous time we are having. Let me tell you what we got coming up for you on the show. 1 hour from right now, there has been something that has been building on this show for 5 years now. Back in the year 2020, you may all remember that we had the COVID lockdowns. And during the COVID lockdown, the NBA placed its players in a bubble. They went down to Orlando, Florida, and they played a shortened NBA season inside of the bubble. It wasn't great, but it was better than nothing. Well, there was a basketball player back in the day who broke and got in a bit of a circumstance with the NBA. He popped the bubble. He left the bubble. And after he left the bubble, once he got found out and once he got suspended and had to go through their testing protocol to be allowed back into the bubble and yada, 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 Lou Williams went on a podcast at the time. And they said, "Why'd you pop the bubble, dog? Why'd you take the risk?" And Lou Williams said, "Because I wanted to get wings from Magic City." Now, Magic City is a gentleman's club here in Atlanta, Georgia. It is a very famous gentleman's club here in Atlanta, Georgia. It is well known because it is where basically every celebrity, football players, basketball players, hip-hop artists, rock and roll artists, every celebrity who comes to this town, whether they are playing games or whether they are performing concerts or whatever, every celebrity that comes to this town that wants to go out, they end their night at Magic City. But that is not why Lemon Pepper Lou went. Lou Williams did not go to Magic City to see the ladies. He went because he swore up and down the hall that they had lemon pepper wings that were out of this world. He said, when asked, "Why would you risk an NBA paycheck to go get a bucket of wings?" He said, "These are the best wings on planet Earth. They are wings that I will fight people over, and I just wanted wings." Since then, Magic City's wings have blown up. And for 5 years now, I have been saying, I'm going to get Lemon Pepper Lou's wings from Magic City. And it just hasn't happened. It just hasn't happened. It's because usually when I'm in Atlanta, I'm passing through. Magic City's kind of out of the way. It also isn't open, obviously, until a little bit later in the daytime, so it's normally not open when I'm driving through. And outside of my bachelor party last year, I haven't really spent time in Atlanta. I've maybe come over for a day game, or maybe I come over for a Braves game, but I haven't really spent time in Atlanta. Yesterday afternoon, I left here, I went back to the hotel, I dropped off my stuff, and ladies and gentlemen, I can now tell you, I have officially purchased and consumed Lemon Pepper Lou's Lemon Pepper Wings from Magic City in Atlanta, Georgia, and coming up in a little bit less than an hour, I am 1,000% going to review those wings for you here on the show. I am going to tell you if it was worth risking an NBA paycheck for Lou Williams to pop the COVID bubble to go get. 5 years later, it's a timely story. I know I'm only 5 years out from when this happened. Half a decade removed from that thing happening. But Lemon Pepper Lou did the best advertisement for anything that's ever been done in the history of advertisement of things. And last night I got the lemon pepper wings for Magic City, and I'm going to break and review those wings for you coming up in a little bit less than an hour from now. But before we get to any of that, I do want to talk a little bit about some of the things that went down yesterday. The first is, and I know that this is not necessarily a topic that is going to impact the Gamecocks of South Carolina, unless it does. Yesterday was Texas Day. Yesterday, Arch Manning was in the house. And I do think that it is fair to say, Arch Manning is the biggest celebrity in college football coming into the 2025 season. There is more conversation about Arch Manning. There is more pin to Arch Manning. This is a Texas Longhorns football team that could sniff a natty last year, and they came up a little bit shy of doing so. A large part of the reason why, in my ever so humble yet frequently correct opinion,
would be the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Would be the Ohio State University. There ain't no doubt about it. But another big part of the reason was the play calling of Steve Sarkisian throughout the playoffs last year, and especially in that game against the Ohio State University, including a go-ahead opportunity for the Texas Longhorns where they ended up with a goal-to-go situation where a touchdown would have given them the lead. And I'm not going to say won them the game, but it would have really put Ohio State in a tough place. And instead of just power running the football four times, and instead of just taking Arch Manning, who is known for his power in running the football, and just dive bombing the goal line four times. I'm not even saying it would have scored. I'm saying it would have had a better chance of scoring than the end arounds that Steve Sarkisian called in that game. It is something that I have been harping on since it happened, that there is a group of college coaches that are very good, and that sometimes I have a hard time trusting them when a game of that magnitude is on the line. I have said this about Mario Cristobal at Miami many, many times. And all I need to go to is that Georgia Tech game against Miami. How many times have we talked about that game? And the reason we've talked about that game is because if you don't believe that coaches can lose a game just as easy as players can, that game proves you wrong. In that game, Miami has the football, less than a minute and a half to play. The game is effectively over. Take three knees. The absolute worst case scenario is that something bad happens. Quarterback, I don't know, gets sacked before he can take a knee. Clock rolls. Maybe you got to punt to him on fourth down with 3 seconds left to play, and you set up an opportunity for them to pull off one of the biggest miracle touchdowns in college football history. But take the knee. And instead, with less than a minute and a half to play, Mario Cristobal decides, let's call a run play. Let's run the ball. Why? I don't know. It is July 15th. We are however many months out from that Georgia Tech victory, and I still don't know the answer to that question, mainly because there's not a good one if we're keeping it a buck. Steve Sarkisian is another guy that I think might be, capital M, might, underlined, italicized, might be. I think Steve Sarkisian might be one of the best developers of college football players, not in the SEC, in the country. I think Steve Sarkisian might be one of those coaches who just gets how to get the most out of guys. This is one of the reasons that so many people are in on Arch Manning as being an absolute dude this year for the Texas Longhorns. A belief that Arch Manning, who did play last year in packages, but not much, had a year to sit, had a year to learn, had a year to be developed by Steve Sarkisian, a great player developer coach. And obviously you add the Manning name, the pedigree, being coached up by Archie, being coached up by Pepe, being coached up by Eli, etc., etc. That's why Arch Manning is being considered a celebrity. And that is one of the reasons that I think Arch Manning is going to be good this year. Am I ready to say he's he should be the runaway Heisman Trophy favorite. No, I'm not there yet. But the interesting thing yesterday, as I was doing interviews throughout the course of the day, as I was being interviewed throughout the course of the day, as I was having conversations with every level broadcaster that is covering this conference this year, what I found interesting is the variety of opinions on Mark Henry. Or excuse me, on I said Mark Henry because I'm about to bring him up, on Arch Manning. A good chunk of people that are here said Arch Manning is absolutely a Heisman favorite. He is going to change the game for the Southeastern Conference. A good chunk of the people here said, I think he might be a little bit overrated. I brought up to a couple of people the fact that 2 weeks ago, Steve Spurrier said, hey, if Arch Manning's that good, why was he not playing last year? If he was that good, why could he not take Quinn Ewers' spot, especially when Quinn Ewers was allegedly a little banged up, not 100%. Why was Arch not taking that spot? And now the Texas apologist, and respect, that's the gig. The Texas apologist position is, Quinn Ewers was an NFL draft pick. He was a good quarterback. And what you don't want to do, even if he is a little banged up, when you consider yourself a national championship front runner, as Texas was and did, you don't want to change up, even if the guy's not 100%, the chemistry, the timing, the organic relationship built between the quarterback and his offense. And if Quinn was only going to be banged up for a week or two, you didn't want to disrupt the offense by saying, everybody get comfortable with Arch, and then we're going to go back to Quinn, or we won't, but you got to develop this new chemistry, whatever. And that this was always the plan. Let him sit, let him develop, let him grow, let him get a little bit better. And maybe that's fair. And then there's another group of people that said, maybe we just say, oh, look, it's the next Manning, and assume he's going to kick a bunch of ass. And we don't know that that's true or not. Mark Henry said to me yesterday, covering the Texas Longhorns for 1300 The Zone in Austin, Texas, he said, I'm telling you right now, Rob Brown, Arch Manning is going to be great. But I don't think it's going to be this year. I think it's going to be next year. Arch Manning is going to be a Heisman caliber player. But I don't think it's going to be this year. I think it's going to be next year. He said, I think we're going to be a running team this year. Power runs, off runs. I think there's a lot of great talent to help him grow at the wide receiver portal, even though we did lose Matt Golden and some of the other guys. I don't think Arch is going to be Heisman great this year. I think it'll be really good. I think it'll be Heisman great next year. And that's really interesting considering the pressure on Steve Sarkisian. We'll hear what Steve had to say about that later on in the show. We'll get some quotes from Arch Manning from yesterday as well. It's going to be busy today, y'all. I am Rob Brown, the great Milanzo, back in the network studio live from SEC Media Days at the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta, Georgia. It's a special edition of the Rob Brown Show presented by Ingles here on the Fan Upstate. It is the Rob Brown Show live from the College Football Hall of Fame here in Atlanta, Georgia, for day number 3 of Southeastern Conference Media Days. I am Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, back in the network studios in the beautiful upstate of South Carolina. We are obviously talking a lot of college football. I will tell you that coming up later on in the show today, we have got a lot for you. We are going to be talking today about a number of different interviews we did yesterday. We got the opportunity to speak yesterday with former WWE superstar and now, and this is fun, college football analyst Mark Henry. My man got himself a new gig. You got to love it. I'll let you push the button, Lonzo. That's me. That's my bad. That's on me. Mark Henry, wild sitting here looking 2 feet over at a multi-time WWE champion that also had the greatest retirement, non-retirement ceremony of my lifetime, and then have him come over and go, hey, let's talk Texas football, but that's
lovely,
SEC Media Days.
Lovely salmon jacket.
Love it. I own that jacket, by the way. The same jacket. I own it. I have it. I got it because
of
that.
Not that particular jacket because there's...
Not that jacket because it would have swallowed
three of you could fit in
like
that jacket.
Like a parachute. But you know what? I didn't even say that to him. How did I not bring that up? If he's walking around here again today, I'm going to be like, Mark Henry, I want you to not only understand that you're one of my favorite wrestlers of all time and an absolute icon in WWE, you are also a fashion leader because I saw that exact same salmon jacket in a TJ Maxx one day, and I bought it and got it tailored. All right? So, like, fashion forward leader is Mark Henry. But we talked to him about Texas yesterday. David Nuno of TexAgs.com, been covering the Southeastern Conference for north of 20 years. He is an Aggie, obviously. And I will tell all of you that I acknowledged and admitted to David Nuno, who not only covers the Texas A&M Aggies, but he is a big fan. I acknowledged to him yesterday that I occasionally refer to, and by occasionally I mean every time I talk about the Texas A&M Aggies, as a Colt. Mainly because it's funny. All right, it's amusing to me, and I will say that I do have, and this may shock some of you, I've got four or five people very close to me in my life who are Aggies, and I say the same thing to them, and they get mad about it every time, but most of the time, they take it in good nature. It's fun. It's a joke. Texas A&M's a Colt. LOL. Like, it just is what it is. If you want to beat the allegations, I don't know what to tell you. You got a lot of work to do, Aggies. And by the way, I just had like two or three guys walking by, like, point and be like, yep, they are. They are. I'm just saying, I told David Nuno that to his face yesterday when we were sitting here doing our interview, and I'm going to play back for you David Nuno's response to me when I told, hey, you know that school that you cover in depth and you host this popular subscriber-based college football and sports broadcast that you cover this school and you work hand-in-hand with them? Yeah, I think they're a cult. And we had a conversation that got a little bit heated about it. Like, it was fun. It was ha-ha jokey. And then I think I might have gone one too far with it for David, and he gave me a little bit back for it. So I'm going to play that for you coming up later on in the show. But there are a few more things that I wanted to get to. We talked here on the show yesterday, and I asked you all the question. I asked you Gamecock fans the question. And I'm going to get back to this for just a minute. We will not spend as much time on it today as we did yesterday. But I asked you guys the question yesterday to finish a thought that Shane Beamer had from day one of SEC Media Days. Of course, the Gamecocks, one of the first two teams that were on the schedule here. So I asked the question for you Gamecock fans to answer yesterday. In talking with Paul Feinbaum, Paul Feinbaum said to Shane Beamer yesterday, effectively, you guys can't win the SEC, so what are your expectations coming into this year? And Shane gave, and what I and am fine with, what I thought was a very forward, blunt, and almost frustrated answer. Shane said back to Paul Feinbaum, we have everything we need on this roster to accomplish what we need to accomplish. But that's it. That's where he ended the sentence. He didn't say what that is. 10 wins, increase to 11 wins, make it to the SEC title game, make it to the playoffs, win a playoff game. He didn't say what it is. He just said, we got everything we need on this roster to accomplish what we need to accomplish, but then he left it there. And I compared it to a politician who gets up on the stump trying to earn your vote, and he says, if you elect me to be your next governor, your next mayor, your next president, I promise you your life will be better. The next 4 years, you'll have everything you need for you and your family to be safe, secure, financially successful, and to live the American dream. And then they stop, and you go, okay, yep, okay, but what is that, right? Like, what is that? Is it going to be lower taxes? Is it going to be tax credits? Are you going to roll out some sort of program? Are we going to clean energy? Are we going back to coal? What are your plans here? And they don't give you anything. I kind of got that same vibe of he's trying to use the political, and I don't have a problem with it. And part of the reason I don't have a problem with it, and this is something I tell people all the time, it's kind of antithesis to what you are told growing up. I'm not saying don't set goals. Absolutely set goals. What I'm saying is don't tell other people what they are, because here's the reality. You're going to fail to meet a lot of your goals, and that's okay. The point of life and being the best you can be isn't reaching every goal. I'm good at this, I swear. The point of life is not reaching every goal. The point of life is when you come shy of reaching a goal to reestablish, reevaluate, get better, and grind to get the next one. So I don't have a problem with Shane not saying what the goals are, because once you establish the goal line is set. This is the goal line. By your own definition, this is the goal line. Whereas if you don't say what the goal is, you put the, to borrow an expression from common vernacular, you put wheels on the goalpost and you can move the goalpost. So you can say, we have everything on this roster we need to meet the goal. And if the Gamecocks go 8-4 this year, Shane can go, that was our goal. And if they go 10-2, he can go, that was our goal. And if they go 11-1, he can go, we actually surpassed our goal. And that's well and good. I got no issue with it. But I do think it is still fair for Gamecock fans. I think it is fair for Gamecock fans to have a goal of their own, to say, this is what I want to see. So yesterday on the show, I put out there, Gamecock fans, I want to know what that goal is for you this year. What is the acceptable baseline for you? If we get to this mark, fine. If we go above that mark, huzzah. If we come shy of this mark, maybe we need to reevaluate. And obviously, there's variables that have to be accounted for. I told Diesel and Cole Bryson yesterday on Wire to Wire. One of the things that drives me the absolute craziest about sports media, of which I am a part, is how many people try to take a very convoluted and nuanced situation that has a gradient of possibilities and distill it down to black and white, left, right, up, down. There are only two possible realities, and we're going to fight about which one's the better one, instead of being openly honest and saying, it's a tough conversation to take a season like this and to actually say, let's contextualize it. Let's say here's the gradient of here's national championship over here, and here's 5-7 over here, and there's a realm of possibilities in the middle, and all of them, based on other factors outside of your program, may impact whether those possibilities are good or bad. So I asked Gamecock fans yesterday, give me your expectations. What is expectation? And I compiled the responses that I got yesterday, and I got a handful of them. So I'm going to read these. I got about 8 yesterday that I liked, about 8 that made the cut that I wanted to bring to the show, just to kind of establish where the Gamecock fans seem to be and establish where the fans' expectations for everything are. And I want your reaction to them, Lonzo. I'll give you mine. Here are some of the better text and tweets that I got yesterday when I asked Gamecock fans your expectations. Trey from Simpsonville texted in. He said, Rob, if we can hit 9-3 this year and stay competitive in every SEC game, I will call it a success. We've been rebuilding the foundation for a few seasons now. This needs to be the year that we turn the corner. Fair, unfair.
I don't know that 9-3 is turning the corner.
Yeah, because you got 10 last year, and I would make the argument it's a tougher schedule. Honestly, I believe it's a tougher schedule this year than last year with it being backloaded. But I would also say this is where the nuance of that conversation comes in. I would also say you got Lenora Sellers. That could, not saying will, could, capital C, italicized, bold on the line, could be South Carolina's Cam Newton, even if it's only for a year. On the flip side, I think the Southeastern Conference is better this year than it was last year. Even with Georgia and Texas last year, I think it's a better depth conference, like 1-8, all good teams. So 9-3 could genuinely be, for me, I could have the same feeling about 9-3 this year that I had about 10-2 last year. 9-3. It depends on the three and how they – if you lose to Alabama at home and it's a one-point loss and it's on the last play of the game or whatever, there is a chance I look and I go, that's a good Bama team. That's not – it's not your worst loss.
Yeah, but you look at what you did against Alabama last year and realize that maybe if you're at home, you win that game.
Yeah, but I love the quote Nick Barrett had, the defensive lineman, a couple days ago when he said, this ain't 2024 part two. This is 2025.1. And I agree with the take.
You know what? Players say that, but you've been a player. You still remember,
sure.
And you want to get that back. You absolutely do. That gives you a little something extra to make sure that it doesn't happen again this year.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. But I think the other aspect of that is that has to be kept in consideration. You expect to be better this year. So does Alabama. Like it's not a one-sided affair where Alabama, you're playing the 2024 Alabama squad again. They expect to be better. Let me give you one or two more before we take a break. I'm going to read a few more of these later on in the show. Cassie in Traveler's Rest said, I'm not expecting us to win the SEC, but if we're not in the conversation in November, that's a disappointment. B, Beamer's got the talent now. Let's go 10-2 and make some noise. I think that is very fair. That is one of the things I've talked about a number of times is it's about establishing, because you spent 4 years culture building. The fans are excited. The players are excited. And the recruiting is good because the recruits are excited. But at some point, you got to be able to say, we're going to translate the excitement, the hype, into wins. And I think taking a 10-1 season last year, and I would add one little addendum to that. Lonzo, I would say 10-2 is a regular season record, not with a bowl win to get to 10. I think 10-2 regular season is what I'm looking for.
Agreed. And a victory at the end would be icing.
Yep. Big Shane from Fountain Inn sent me a message yesterday. He said, Rob, it's time to stop hoping and start expecting. 11-1 is the ceiling, but I'm holding out for 10 wins and a real shot at an SEC title game appearance. Quote, no more moral victories. I don't have an issue with Big Shane either. I think that's fair too. I think that's fair. Hope for 11-1. Set 10-2 is the floor. No more moral victories. Real quick, Jacob is in the Facebook stream. He said the USC bar should be to make the playoffs. Less than that, it is a failure. A good season would be either attending the SEC championship or winning in the first round of the playoffs. A great season is either winning the SEC or winning multiple games in the playoffs. I agree, but I think maybe you're like one step too far, Jacob, and I'm going to address your comments. You can send me your comments on the Hub City Spartanburger text line at 844-326-3663. 844-326-3663 is the number. What is your response to that question? What's the goal? What's the goal where you say, this is successful, this is not, and more importantly, what do you want to achieve in terms of not just wins and losses, but in growth of the program? We'll address this more. We got David Nuno of TexAds.com coming up. Mark Henry, got an interview with him, and the president of the College Football Hall of Fame, all coming up on the show today. I am Rob Brown, live at the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta, Georgia. It's the Rob Brown Show, presented by Ingles, here on the Fan Upstate.
Time for a sports flash. The National League claimed last night's All-Star game in a home run derby swing-off, whatever that is. The NL led 6-0 at one point. I hadn't heard of it before this, but the AL tied it up in the ninth, leading to the tiebreaker where players from each team got three swings and the homers were tallied. Philadelphia's Kyle Schwarber hit three in three pitches to give the NL a 4-3 win. Caitlin Clark was pulled from last night's 85-77 Fever win over the Sun with an apparent groin injury in the final minute of the game. Fever coach Stephanie White said Clark felt something in her groin and that she would be further evaluated today. Jets cornerback Sauce Gardner is now the highest paid defensive back in the NFL after signing a 4-year, $120.4 million deal. Just 24 hours after the Jets extended receiver Garrett Wilson, Gardner's contract includes $85.63 million.